Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Ed Chu and Francine Foss. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Chu is Deputy Director and Chief of Medical Oncology at Yale Cancer Center, and Dr. Foss is a Professor of Medical Oncology and Dermatology specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This evening, Francine is joined by Dr. Lawrence Solomon, an associate professor of medicine and director of the Yale New Haven Hospital Adult Palliative Care Service, and Leslie Blatt, ARPN, who's the clinical director of the program. Here's Francine Foss.
Let's start off by talking about a very basic question. What is palliative care, and when is it typically recommended for patients with cancer?
Well, palliative care is a relatively new medical specialty. It's directed towards improving the quality of life of patients and their families who are faced with a life-threatening illness. Its goal is to identify and treat both symptoms and concerns, whether they be physical, such as pain, emotional, social, or spiritual, and to do this, it requires the skills of a multidisciplinary team consisting of physicians, nurses, social workers, and pastoral care representatives, among others. Historically, palliative care was focused on patients with incurable forms of cancer, but actually, this specialty has a role in assisting patients with many other serious illnesses, such as those associated with severe impairment of heart, lung, kidney, liver, neurologic function.
I think that's a really important point, Larry, because most of us think about palliative care only in the setting of cancer.
Right, and I think this has been a real shift over the last 5 to 10 years to include these other disorders as well.
Let's ask both of you, actually, how you got involved in palliative care. Could we start with you, Leslie?
Sure, thank you. So I actually feel I've been doing pieces of palliative care throughout my nursing career. I initially worked in the intensive care unit, and I did some hospice nursing for a while, and then as a psych liaison nurse. And I think for me, palliative care combines all my areas of interest, which is acute medicine, but also focusing on how that illness impacts the patient and their family, because I don't think you can really separate out kind of the disease from what else is going on in the patient's life. So as Larry was saying earlier, it's really encompassing all the things that make up a patient. So that's how I got interested.
And Leslie, you are an APRN, which is an advanced practice nurse. Could you just tell our audience for a minute how that differs from an RN?
Yes, yeah, so I have gone back to school and I've gotten my a master's degree, and that allows me to have prescriptive authority. So I'm able to kind of write prescriptions and medications for patients.
And Larry, how did you get involved in palliative care?
For me, it was somewhat a matter of serendipity related to time and place. I actually started my career in this area in the 1970s in cancer treatment, and about that same time was when awareness of the many needs of patients with incurable illnesses was coming to the fore in medical communities. It's also the time that Florence Wald established the first hospice in the United States, right in New Haven, Connecticut, where I was working. I later had the opportunity to work at that institution and was just amazed at the impact that good symptom management by an interdisciplinary team could have on a patient and their family, and this experience ultimately led to my current work in palliative care.
You mentioned hospice. Could you just clarify for our audience who's not familiar with that term, what is hospice?
Hospice is involved with the care of patients towards the end of life when treatments that are usually tried to either cure or control an illness are no longer effective. So that was actually the starting point for approaches to keeping patients comfortable and helping with all phases of their life in the face of such illness, and eventually extended into palliative care.
And I didn't know that the first hospice was here in Connecticut.
Absolutely. Florence Wald was the main driver of that movement, establishing with some colleagues here, following on the leadership of Cicely Saunders in England and bringing that program here.
Larry, could you talk a little bit about the term palliative care and tell us when palliative care was first introduced into the medical world?
Yeah. Well, as I said, it came as an offshoot, if you will, or rather an extension of hospice care. Hospice care starts in the 1960s, recognizing the patient family needs towards the end of life. These programs grew. Approaches to improve quality of life became more and more effective, and it became recognized that these effective approaches to a patient, the support for their family, was valuable not just at the end of life, but throughout the course of a significant illness. And this concept led to palliative care becoming recognized as an approach about a decade later. And just 4 years ago, it became a formal specialty here in the U.S.
So physicians now can be so-called board certified in palliative care.
Yes.
And those palliative care physicians, are they primarily oncologists or do they represent all different subspecialties?
Actually, they're spread all over the clinical map. A lot of them came from oncology initially, but a lot are coming directly to this specialty from a variety of places as diverse as generalized internal medicine, radiation therapy, radiology, emergency room medicine are all sources of potential palliative care physicians.
And as a palliative care physician, do you consider yourself pretty much a general internist? I mean, you cover all different areas of involvement for that patient.
I think one of the greatest challenges of palliative care is to keep your mind open as to what can be going on and impacting on the patient's life. And to that end, I do think of myself as an internist, to look for opportunities to improve the well-being of patients by understanding that other things may be going on over and above the underlying illness.
And Leslie, you also mentioned that your background in psychiatry in other areas has contributed significantly to your ability to work with this group of patients.
Yes, I think that one of the things that we both do pretty consistently is kind of just be able to listen to people and help them through difficult transitions that they go through. And so communication is a really important part of what we do.
Could we talk a little bit about the differences between end-of-life care and palliative care?
Absolutely. I think those distinctions are very, very important. As I mentioned, hospice became an area of care that was focused towards the end of life. That means this was a time when treatments directed to either curing or controlling an illness were no longer effective. In contrast, important contrast, palliative care begins early in the course of a life-threatening illness, works concurrently with all efforts that are possible to cure or control the disease.
So basically, palliative care doesn't necessarily mean that a patient isn't undergoing treatment for the disease.
Absolutely right. And that treatment can even eventually result in cure.
And in your mind, then, do you distinguish between end-of-life and palliative when you see an individual patient? Is there like a marker between those two, or is it a transition?
Definitely the latter. This is part of a continuum which may end either successfully with cure of the disease or with the patient's death later on. But nonetheless, the same techniques can maintain and improve quality of life throughout the course of the illness.
I think that it takes the best of the hospice model, which is really focusing on the patient and their family, and brings it much more forward in the course of the care. And if you think about it, that if the disease doesn't just affect the patient, it affects their whole life, and that to have the resources available to help people and their family deal with the changes that occur with any chronic or life-threatening illness is really important. And I think that's what palliative care brings.
Can you tell us a little bit about how a palliative care program is put together, the program at Yale New Haven? How long has it been in operation, and what are your roles in the program?
So we've been in existence approximately going on 3 years, and we continue to grow. We average about 40 to 50 new consults a month and have about a daily census of about 12 to 15 patients, so we're really excited about the growth of our program. That we receive consults from all over the hospital, although at this moment the majority of our patients do have a cancer diagnosis. I think that that the attending physician invites us to come in, and that often the consults are at the prompting of the nurses or the social workers or chaplains on the unit. So this is often how we get our consults. I think our role is that we usually see patients together for the first consult, and part of that reason is because I think we both hear the information from a different perspective, as well as trying to limit the amount of time somebody has to tell their story. Because if you have ever been in a hospital, you know that there's a lot of people that come in and ask people to kind of repeat the same information over and over again. After that, I am usually doing the follow-ups, and if there's any questions or concern, you know, we discuss the cases pretty much on a daily basis.
So if a patient were to initiate a consult, they could just do that by talking to their nurse, for instance, or their physician, if they wanted to talk to a palliative care doctor?
Yes. It usually, we do like the attending physician to invite us into the case. And most of the times when patients have asked for our services, everyone usually complies. And it's also important, I think, to note that palliative care programs also lead to patient satisfaction. So that can also look good for the hospital, the attending physician, and us as well.
And that gets back to just a basic question, which is if a patient is in the hospital for particularly a prolonged period of time, how does a patient actually find out that palliative care is even out there?
Well, there are many, many ways that they may hear about our services. One is, of course, from their clinicians themselves. Second, they may be aware, as palliative care is very much in the news these days, about these options in their care from family members and friends. They may hear about it from other healthcare workers as well.
And are there conversations within the hospital, interdisciplinary conversations where palliative care gets brought up in, say, in the management of a patient?
So I think that that it does happen, and oftentimes it happens on the daily rounds on an individual team. And I know the nurses and social workers are well acquainted with kind of what our services can offer. And oftentimes it starts with anybody that's having kind of a symptom that's not being that needs additional management, and that's often how we get involved initially into the consult.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the major issues are that patients are facing, financial, family, et cetera? What are the key issues for patients nowadays?
So I think that it's varied, as our patients are varied, so are their issues. But oftentimes it involves a lot about transition points in their care. Frequently, it's related to loss, and this can happen. This happens right along through any chronic or illness, as well as the other transition phases that may occur. Oftentimes, when treatment goals need to change, or psychological or spiritual issues may also kind of impact or be coming up with that. So I think it's a combination of things, not just the physical issues, not just transition points, but also how that illness has impacted them in their daily lives, how it changes their roles in the world, in their family.
And with the current economic situation, have you seen more patients who have financial concerns as well that impact them?
I think financial concerns are always kind of there, and yes, I would have to say that is true, because the economic times make it even more difficult than it's been previously.
Well, great. I'd like to talk a little bit more about what you're doing with specific patients and specific diseases when we come back, but we have to take a break now for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more about palliative care with my guests, Dr. Lawrence Solomon and Leslie Blatt.
The American Cancer Society estimates that in 2010, over 2,000 people will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer in Connecticut alone, and nearly 150,000 in the U.S. Early detection is the key, and when detected early, colorectal cancer is easily treated and highly curable. Men and women over the age of 50 should have regular colonoscopies to screen for the disease. Patients with colorectal cancer have more hope than ever before. Each day, more patients are surviving the disease due to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for colorectal cancer. New options include a Chinese herbal medicine being used in combination with chemotherapy to reduce side effects of treatment and help cancer drugs work more effectively. This has been a Medical Minute, and more information is available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Francine Foss, and my guests tonight are Dr. Lawrence Solomon and Leslie Blatt, who joined me to talk about palliative care. We talked a little bit about what palliative care was, and I'd like to ask a question now, which is, how has palliative care really changed over the last couple of years?
That's a very important question, Francine, because, in fact, the understanding of the role of palliative care by both patients and physicians is still often limited. Palliative care continues to be equated with hospice and end-of-life care, and it's still frequently considered to be a last resort, even though palliative care can be very much a part of a therapeutic program aiming to cure or control an illness. In addition, many patients and physicians continue to believe that hospice care, palliative care, the use of morphine and related medications actually shorten survival and produce serious side effects. This is simply not the case. In fact, a recent study from Harvard presented just this month at the American Society of Clinical Oncology meeting actually showed that palliative care given to patients with incurable lung cancer not only improved the quality of life, but actually increased survival as well.
Well, that gets us to another issue, which is for many cancer patients, one of the major things that they grapple with in addition to their diagnosis are all the side effects and the fatigue and the emotional stress related to the treatment itself. Do you actually help patients to manage this?
Yes, we are involved with that as well. Most oncologists are very aware of these frequent side effects that are absolutely devastating and frightening to patients as they anticipate their treatments. These include nausea, diarrhea, loss of appetite, weakness, and increases in pain, and all of that impacts on the emotional well-being of both the patient and their family. The oncologist can anticipate many of these and does and controls them very well with medications, both before and during the administration of chemotherapy. On other occasions, we can be helpful in identifying additional factors which can contribute to these symptoms and provide new therapeutic approaches to help control them as well.
And do you also help patients in terms of integration of other modalities, say, you know, if they need dietary advice or exercise or other things, quality of life issues?
Absolutely. I think when you talk about the interdisciplinary team, I mentioned just a small portion of that, but involvement of dietitians, physical therapists, pharmacists to help with more palatable or usable forms of medication are all important to optimizing what can be done for a patient.
Can you describe what a typical meeting or session with a patient is like?
Well, there's actually not a typical session or meeting, but what we try to do is give a comprehensive assessment that includes not only the physical but also the psychological and spiritual realm and see how that's what we can do to help improve the patient and their family's quality of life. We try to get a sense of who they are and what their goals are so that we know how best we can help. And we actually take our lead from them much of the time.
And do you oftentimes meet with family at the same time you meet with the patient, or do you have individual meetings with family at separate times, or how do you work that in?
We like to meet with the families, definitely. If they're in the room when we're doing our initial assessment, we certainly invite them to stay if it's okay with the patient, and much of the time it is. If we don't meet them on our initial visit, at some point during the person's hospital stay, we will meet with them and sit down and kind of talk with the patient and the family as a whole. And oftentimes, if the family wants to see us separately, they'll actually seek us out as well.
Another thing just for patients to know is that you actually bridge the inpatient and the outpatient. Your practice is in both arenas.
Absolutely. We are seeing patients in right now a half day a week in clinic. Many of these are follow-ups of patients we've met for the first time in the hospital, but also we're getting to meet many patients earlier in the course of the disease through the outpatient clinic.
Why is it so important for physicians to be aware of the benefits of palliative care?
Well, in this day and age, physician training is often very specialized. To be on the top of what you do and provide quality of care in all areas of medicine, you just have to be aware of a body of knowledge that's expanding at a very great rate. And physicians are also facing enormous demands on their time. So in palliative care, we can complement what physicians are doing for the care of their patients by providing additional time to identify and address patient family concerns and providing additional expertise in symptom management.
I know that also that you've worked extensively with other staff in the hospital. In fact, you've mentored a number of our medical students and fellows and physicians' assistants, and that is a big part of the program for you.
Training is key. Making being able to help others to implement techniques which we know are effective is an important goal for us. So Leslie and I often lecture to physicians, nurses, students in all realms of the clinical arena. To help them learn approaches to pain and other symptom management.
And I know, Larry, that you've gotten a number of our oncology fellows interested in this whole area of palliative care and have successfully sent a couple of those folks out into practice, which is really remarkable.
We've had some wonderful young people to work with, and that's an exciting part of what we do.
And Leslie, from the point of view of nursing, is there now a nursing specialty for APRNs for palliative care?
There is a nursing specialty, but like the physicians, you can come into palliative care with a wide variety of master's programs. It is also board certified, so most APRNs in palliative care are board certified in that specialty as well. And I would just like to say that we also have been involved in teaching some of the master's students, and actually our newest addition to our service will be somebody that kind of just shared their clinical experience with us. So,
wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. Leslie, could you talk a little bit from the point of view of actually the family members? You know, we've talked about some of the issues for the patients. Is it hard for family members to accept the whole concept of palliative care? And how do you really work with them around that issue?
Well, I think that the concept of palliative care is really that we help them help their family member have as good a quality of life as possible. And once you get to know us, we say, we kind of joke around and say, you can't really get rid of us, but you really do come to like us as a team as well. But I think some of the things that we can help families do is to kind of clarify the medical information that they get. And we have the luxury of being able to have the time and the ability to kind of listen to a lot of their questions. And I think that nowadays people get so much information that they think they understand it, but it's really only after being able to talk about it a couple of times that they're able to really comprehend it cognitively in their minds. So we give them the time. We provide support and reassurance. And I think we also allow them to be able to discuss some of their fears and worries that they have about their family member for themselves. And it's really kind of helping them live oftentimes in parallel realities. We often say it's hoping for the best, but also preparing for the worst. As well as emphasizing what can be done. And I think this is the most important point, that there is always something that can be done for the patient and for the family, whether it's symptom control, emotional support, preservation of dignity, or practical support.
I think that's a really, really key point for patients and for families, that even if a situation looks bleak, there's always some element of hope that you can help those folks in some way.
Yeah. Importantly, hope can be focused on medications to cure or treat the disease. It can also be focused on completion of life goals with family, friends, and spiritual completion as well. So hope is an ongoing element that we support.
I think another important point that I've certainly noticed in my relationship with your practice is that there's oftentimes a dichotomy between what you tell a patient and their family and what they really understand. And you've often been able to get involved in those discussions as well and really help to focus back on the reality and help everybody to basically get on the same page because you have probably a better handle on what people are really thinking.
Well, I think it's not so much a better handle as this is what we're focused on doing. And, you know, it's an old medical axiom that most of what you solve in terms of a patient's needs starts and ends with the history. And having the time to listen to what the patient has to say, to ask questions back, to be sure they understand our words and we understand their words, helps move the process forward.
So we've developed this outstanding palliative care program at Yale New Haven, and I'm wondering, are there programs like this at other hospitals as well?
There actually are, and I think the growth of palliative care programs has increased in the last 8 years or so, and that the latest figure is right now that 81% of hospitals with greater than 300 beds have palliative care programs.
What are some of the future goals for palliative care and for the program specifically at Yale New Haven?
Well, at this point, we have three major goals. First and foremost, we are in the process of increasing our staffing so that we can expand our services both in the outpatient clinic arena and also to broaden the spectrum of illnesses we see both inpatient and outpatient. We believe, second, that teaching is extremely important, and ultimately we hope to expand our role in that to include a palliative care fellowship program. And last but not least, all medicine has to move forward by careful investigation, and we believe research to improve what we do is essential, and that this must be done without compromising either the comfort of safety of our patients and their families.
And just one other goal that we have is, I think, to hopefully become involved at the beginning of a life-threatening illness or serious illness.
Now, is there a way for that to happen from a practical point of view?
Time. We hope as people become more exposed to what we do and more comfortable that we are not an alternative but a concurrent form of treatment, I hope that will happen. We work very hard to communicate back to the physicians who refer to us so they understand the process of what we're doing. That's one part. Second, that we ensure continuity of care and consistency of care of our patients. And we hope that approach over time will lead to earlier involvement with patients with these illnesses.
So from a patient's point of view, if a patient wanted to find out more about palliative care, are there websites? Is there a palliative care foundation? Or are there resources available?
So actually, there are lots of websites about palliative care. And actually, on the Smilow Cancer Center, there is a palliative care component of it. So people can look at Yale's to kind of get a little bit of idea of us. And if you just, I think you can just Google palliative care and you'll come up with a large number of palliative care resources.
Great. Could you talk, Larry, a little bit about what clinical trials you think might be interesting in the future to do in palliative care?
Yeah, we have a wish list of things that we'd like to focus on, that simple things that need to be better understood. We know some medicines that have been effective in improving side effects in related to radiation therapy in one area of the body and have not been used in another. So we'd like to look at that. We know that we make a lot of assumptions about how medicines are absorbed, but those assumptions are based on people who are otherwise well, and we want to make sure that the same thing applies to patients with the kinds of illnesses we deal with. And we want to look at the timeliness of our involvement in patient care and the use of sort of unusual agents in helping with neuropathies and other side effects of treatment. So there are many things that we have to think about, and as time permits, we'll begin to look at in the coming year.
And the issue of pain control is something that obviously you're very involved in as well.
I think pain control is central to everything we do, and in that pain impacts on so many other things. It affects mental status, emotions, and general well-being and ability to function. So looking for ways to make that better is always on our agenda.
Well, thank you both for joining me tonight. It's been really great to really get some detailed information and understanding about palliative care. This is Dr. Francine Foss from the Yale Cancer Center, thanking again Leslie and Larry for being here tonight and wishing you a safe and healthy week.
If you have questions or would like to share your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. I'm Bruce Barber, and you're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.